The following podcast was recorded on July 3rd, 2021, between 2:10 p.m. and 2:35 p.m. Events occur in real time. 20. About you, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. It's worst day ever. It's the 24 season one recap podcast on Post Show Recaps. I'm Josh Wigler, and I am joined here by someone who is riding in a car with someone she does not completely understand.
Thank God I'm not.
Emily Fox. How are you, Emily?
I'm good. I'm distressed.
Emily is... Okay, so it's the 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. episode of 24.
So much just happened in this hour.
So much just happened in this hour.
Yeah.
Finally, Emily, I feel like we've reached an episode of 24 that is, like, more stressful itself than, like, the process of recording Worst Day Ever when we only have 24 minutes to do it.
Yeah, no, I feel like this really kicked it up a notch in terms of plot lines and things happening and us seeing some real action and understanding sort of how the needle gets threaded in a lot of this first few hours.
Stories are colliding.
Yes.
It's very traumatic. It's very stressful. I was telling you before we started the episode, I was like, you won't pay attention to this one. This one, you're going to have a lot of feelings
like
about.
Like, I don't at all.
No, I know, but I was like, I think you're really going to like this one. Yeah, can I get the preemptive letter grade? Where does this one rank for you?
What if I was like B+?
Yeah, it's not going to be a B+.
No. No, I don't know yet. Let's talk it through.
Many reveals, some deaths. There's a death. There's some death. There's some people are
there
not.
Is a death.
Some people are not exactly who they claim to be. We will talk about all of that. We will do it.
A lot of death and deception.
We will do it within 24 minutes. Of course, when we get to episode 8, we'll stop down for a longer episode with the feedback. So get that in. Send it my way. Josh@postshowrecaps.com. Or you can hit us up in the Worst Day Ever channel on the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord. It is early in the month. We would love your support. If you would be able to sign up, that would be absolutely incredible. Great community there. People talking 24.
Cool.
Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. You get a weekly movie podcast with me and Emily Fox. Probably don't have time to keep hyping this up. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. That's all I'm going to say. All right, Emily Fox.
Let's go.
Let's do this thing. Or as there are people out there who really love it when you say hurry, hurry, hurry.
I mean, we're not that. Hurry up. Let's go. hurry.
I'd really just like to take another quick. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. It's 5 a.m. Oh, it's 5 a.m. Yes. As we launch into this episode.
And we are exhausted. No one has brushed their teeth yet, but it's time to start getting ready for a breakfast, a very important breakfast.
Sun's not up quite yet, but we're getting there by the end of the episode. It's 5 a.m. when we begin, and Janet is crashing, Emily.
Right where we left off.
Right where we left off. She's not doing great. Emily,
no, she's not doing well.
Someone in the operating room says something, and I heard you like cackling as soon as we started the episode with Janet crashing. And I heard you say, did she just say she's in Beantown?
Yeah, I couldn't understand what they were saying, but basically they were checking her vitals. She was flatlining, so they go in to kind of like see if they can, you know, kickstart the heart a little bit.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, clear kind of move.
Oh, we love that move. Like,
what is it called?
It's a 1, 2, 3, clear. We love that kind
of
move.
No, you're using a defibrillator.
Right.
Like, what do you call that?
You call it the 1, 2, 3, clear. We love that kind of move.
Okay. Yeah, we're trying to bring her back.
Yeah. And you were like, did someone say she's in Beantown? And
that's what it sounded like.
I imagine.
Like, it was probably them saying, like, she's flatlining. Like,
I imagine the bag lady returning. Doesn't look good. She's in Beantown.
She can come here anytime she wants.
She's in Beantown and the yolk's
on
you.
Tell her she's available. Tell her I'm available.
She's in Beantown. The yolk's on you. Go to Shell. All right. So Jack is calling in. Is Janet out of surgery? Same old shit. Different hour.
A broken record, this guy.
He does say to Terry, like, don't tell anybody, but I think she's in danger. Keep this between us. I'm coming there
and
soon.
And Terry's like, what are you talking about? She just showed up at the hospital because she got hit by a car, stabbed by a needle, you know, almost killed by so many different people.
She's fine.
She's not in danger. She's safe now.
Jack rolls up to CTU.
Do you know about the American healthcare system? You are not safe in the hospital.
Jack rolls up to CTU. He's got the dead body in the car. He brings it to Nina. He says, it's all connected to Palmer. You got to ID this person. And Nina looks at the body. She goes, ew. Oh, yeah, God, it's so hideous.
That's a gnarly discovery to have, and then to have to bring in and actually look over as a forensic.
It's nasty.
But it's got to be done.
They say they didn't leave. She says didn't leave much of his face is what she says. Yeah, his teeth have been pulled. His fingertips are gone. It's a grisly sight. Jack has requisitioned a helicopter for personal use. He says, don't tell anyone I did this. This is cool.
This also explains his 10-minute status, where he's like, I'll be there in 10 minutes. It makes so much more sense to me. How's he going to drive
He called a blade, Tony is watching. He's like, what the hell? Jack's just, now he's just like,
actually,
now he's just renting out helicopters, Nina. That's not cool, okay?
He was talking a little louder than a whisper because the chopper was loud.
I don't want to blow out people's ears, but he's like,
I don't either, but.
Nina, this isn't cool. It's like, Tony, could you just shut up for a second? He's like, I'm just trying to help you out. She's like, when I need your help, I'll ask for it. Tony's like,
but he's had it.
All right.
He's had enough.
Yeah. Emily, I have this in my notes. Emily bellowed, Tony Almeida has had enough.
Yeah. He has.
I feel like you're starting to understand Tony's exasperation a little bit.
I mean, as somebody who really appreciates rules, I totally get it.
Yeah.
He's like, he's breaking all the protocols.
What the hell?
That's what I'm like on a regular
basis. Why can't I do that? That's not cool.
Yeah. These are the rules.
At 5:05 in the morning, Ira Gaines gives Rick a shovel. Bury your friend. Where? In the ground, is what he says. I love Gaines. Gaines is like, exasperation is so great. Now bury your friend. Where? In the ground? Is just a great, great line.
I mean, that's a fair question, though. I'd be like, do you want it to be like closer?
And you want it to be close to the compound? You want it to be out of sight? Because you know, maybe you're gonna like feel uncomfortable if there's just like the mound here.
Do we have a designated?
Do we have a great like?
Bodies?
Do we have like a pit? Is there a pit?
You don't want to do the wrong thing for this guy.
Yeah, Kim's like, Rick, we gotta get out of here. Rick's like, shut up, I'm not ready to talk about this. At 5:06:37, Carl, good to see you. Carl shows up. And Palmer has like this kind of big ta-da. He's like, all right, so here's what I have figured out. Keith definitely is involved in this. I believe Maureen Kingsley. I know something's up. There's falsified records. The only person who could do that is you, Carl. And Carl's like, so totally. That's definitely it. And he's like, I never want to see you again. I never want you to come near my family. Carl's like, well, before you finish crucifying me, save some nails for your wife. And Palmer's like, oh, don't tell me. Yeah. Oh, no.
So David Palmer's set.
Yeah. He's like putting
he's
things together.
He's the last to know.
Yeah. He's putting things
played
together, but he's finding out. Yeah. He's been played for a fool. Sherry Palmer seems to, know. About the Keith situation. He will talk to her more about that in a little
bit. There's no amount of tea sipping or bathrobe wearing that will get her out of this situation.
No, certainly. Not really. At 5:14:52, Kim is now going to be like, Rick, let me help you bury Dan. She's like, he's like, please leave me alone. She's like, I'm going to pick up a shovel and I'm going to help. He's like, fine, I'm going to stop shoveling for a while because I'm a little tired.
I'm going to take a break and smoke. Smoke break.
Yeah,
definitely make the victim shovel.
Yeah, he's stressed out and he's like, none of this is supposed to happen. I can't believe it. And she's like, well, Rick, you could feel sorry for yourself all night or you can help me figure out how to not die. And Rick's like, I guess that's a good idea. Emily Fox at this point calls Rick the eternal wingman. He has no original ideas.
Yeah, he doesn't have any direction whatsoever. He waits to take.
Can someone tell me? Can someone please tell me what to do?
Yeah, he doesn't know how to, you know, have his own agency in this.
No, he should.
Gets promoted, freaked out.
He's just been from. Well, in fairness, he was promoted because his friend was shot right in front of him.
I mean, this is a trauma. Traumatizing.
It is.
Yes.
At 5:16:29, Jack Bauer has arrived at the hospital and he reunites with Terry and the two of them have like a very intense like PDA moment where like
I hated it.
He like grabs her by the cheeks. They like have this really very intimate kiss. It's like touching the back of her head.
I hate it.
I'm so glad that you do because I have long maintained, and this may be just like such a strange take, like Kiefer Sutherland is like the least believable kisser in like film and TV. I think that like,
I mean, when I Kiefer need to Sutherland, see more footage before I can make a judgment call like that, but okay.
It always feels very chilling and weird. And it feels like the way that like Jeff Probst on Survivor's like, explain to me what a brother is. Like whenever there's like a family visit and it's like, he's never heard of like a loved one before. Yeah. I get the sense that like Jack Bauer, that Kiefer Sutherland has like, no, like a very alien sense of like human connection. It is so uncomfortable. And he kisses her and goes, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, like it's too much.
Oh my God, Terry.
Also, like, you're not
Terry, I'm
showing
so
up
sorry.
For like a loving reunion. Yeah. Like your daughter is missing. Mm-hmm. He knows that like it's much more dire than what Terry has been led to believe. Janet is still in surgery, basically flatlining last time we checked,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And they like have a moment to like do like a double lip like
kiss
thing.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Well, here's my take. He kind of looks like the guy that like goes in for the kiss and misses or like gets your nose part of it, like over compensates.
Except I think he might think that's where you're supposed to go. That's kind of my thought. Like,
we don't like that.
Wait, I'm not supposed to kiss the nose.
Like you don't have to embrace that intense. Yeah. I can understand like a really impassioned hug or something like that. Like, where were you? Yeah. Like, come on. And like, let's figure this out. But like, not like a really like sexy little kiss.
A sexy little kiss. Oh my God. That. We have a little less than 14 minutes. All right.
Okay. Hurry. Okay. Go.
So Jack is like awkwardly kissing Terry. He needs to like talk to Janet. He meets Alan. And Jack starts like interrogating Alan where he's like, so you didn't know who these guys were? And Alan's like, he's like, are you close with your daughter? And I was like, yeah, I'm close with my daughter. No, I didn't know who these guys are, but it sounds like you didn't either. And it's like, whoa, sick burn. I'm totally team Alan York for now. So Terry's like trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Like some guy, some like suspicious looking guy to Jack at least comes in with a bag. Jack like tackles him. He's like, I just have medicine for my sister. And Terry's like, what's going on? And Jack then hugs her really close again and goes, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
so like, it's really uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable.
It's weird.
At 5:19:38, David Palmer confronts Sherry and she's like, yeah, I knew. And what's the big deal? I'm just trying to protect our family, you big dummy. And David's like, this, you can't. Does Nicole know? She's like, yeah, everyone knows except for you, David. David.
To be the last to know.
Yeah, David is so mad. He's like, we're supposed to be a team. She's like, yeah, we are a team. You married me because I'm as ambitious as you. He goes, I married you because I loved you.
Whoops.
Yeah. And she says, will you be as angry at me as you want? But if we don't keep this from coming out, you're going to lose a lot more than the election. And David's like, so like
threat.
Sherry Palmer, who's been like sipping tea in her nightgown all night long, is like, no. I don't want you to say anything to anybody. And it was like, this is going to be an issue.
It is going to be an issue. Yeah. It's a huge issue. That's not something you sweep under the rug where you're like, a misjudgment. Yeah. No, your son could go
to
jail.
Who is misjudgment? Emily, did you have strong thoughts about Sherry Palmer in this episode?
Very awake.
She's awake.
Awake the whole night.
She's awake. And it seems like the character, too, is like, I'm awake. Now I know. No, well, yeah. I got
to
be in on
I'm
this.
Trying to figure out what her breakfast order is going to be at this huge announcement.
It seems like they've just been like eating little small bites all night long.
Well, that's the only way to stay awake.
All right. So Kim and Rick are still talking and Rick's like, Dan always acted like nothing could touch him. Look at him now. And Kim's like, yeah, I miss my mom. And Rick's like, I wish I had a mom. And Kim's like, let's not take any time to like build sympathy for you. And then Gaines shows up. I was like, Kim, could you come with me, please? Leave that shovel unless you plan to use it on me.
Oh my God.
Also looks at Rick and says, when I come back, your friend better be in the ground. He loves talking about your friend better be in the ground, Dan or Rick, whichever one I killed. I don't even care.
He's not my friend.
He's dead. At the hospital, Nina checks in with Jack, says that the person who they have, like what they've gotten so far is that like he died between 11 and 12 the previous evening.
So this was a recent death.
It happened right before the show started. So Jack is going to ask Terry to go on a walk and talk. And this is when he tells her, like, there's a plot to kill David Palmer. I think they knew that I was working on the protection detail. They kidnapped Kim. It's totally my fault. And Terry, like,
and then Terry just loses it.
Is that what she sounds like? Wait, are you singing?
Yeah, she sounded just
like
that.
The opera singer from The Fifth Element right now. This is dope.
Well, no, she just becomes hysterical, which, you know, might be a lot of pent up emotion. She's been running around the last few hours trying to find her daughter, but it's also the kind of emotion that I probably would have had after like an hour of not finding Kim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like sure.
First episode, maybe second episode, yeah. Beginning of the episode, you know?
Kiefer Sutherland holds Leslie Hope uncomfortably close as Jack Bauer tells Terry, I've been trying to keep a wall between my work and my family, and that wall is coming down. It's like, wow, relatable. Oh my God. Yeah.
Work-life balance.
Work-life balance is really a struggle.
When our daughter
struggle.
Got kidnapped, I was so mad at you,
Josh. You were furious with me.
It was definitely related to your podcast.
You were so upset when that happened. He's insisting.
My hair was short. I was really
mad.
It
was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah. You were running around with a guy who said that he was somebody who he was. It seems like a serial killer. So we're going to talk about that in a second. He says, Kim's okay. They took her for a reason. They're not going to hurt her. They go to commercial. And when we come back, Terry is still sobbing in Jack Bauer's arms. So this has been 5 minutes straight of just Emily. That's what is that? Oh, my.
That's her sob.
I know what you're trying to do. At room 1218, I know. Okay, we've got a little less than 10 minutes. In room 1218, Palmer goes to visit Chief of Staff Mike Novick. Played by Jude Cicilella, I believe is how you pronounce that, or Cicilella. And Emily goes, was he a Ferengi? I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, Ferengi from Star Trek. I was like, I don't know. And you're like, let me Google. It's like, be careful Googling things from this show. You're like, I'm going to Google it the safe way. Yeah. And you uncovered that he was a Romulan.
I did.
Yeah.
I had the hardest time just spelling his last name based on the phonetic pronunciation that you gave me.
I love this character very much. This is Mike. He's the chief of staff. He's like David Palmer's ride or dies. Like, David, this isn't good. I gotta be really honest with you. Like, this is terrible. Like, people are gonna
we're very upset.
We're very upset about this. This is a problem. It seems like there's this huge scandal.
Get ahead of it, David. Get ahead of it.
Yeah, I would say your textbook unelectable. And David's like, oh man, so I should quit. He's like, no. So he's like, the good thing is you didn't know. And David's like, what does that say about me?
Good David Palmer impression.
Yeah, he's like, what about me? And Mike Novick is like, we're going to get ahead of this. At the breakfast, it should be the first thing you say. And David Palmer's like, but I don't know if my family's going to be on board.
It's going to ruin some appetites.
Mike's like, you better get your family on board. That better be your focus for the entirety of the next episode of the show, because this breakfast is coming up quick. It's 5:40 in the morning, David. You got to get your ship right. So that is Mike Novick's marching orders to David Palmer. Meanwhile, Janet is out of surgery. She's in the ICU. Apparently she's conscious, which is great. And so they're gonna go up to the ICU. Alan is going to be the one who goes in first to make sure that Janet is up for questions. Jack is gonna get a phone call and he's like, oh, Nina's calling me. That was quick. Nina. And then she's like, it's actually not Nina, it's me, it's Gaines. And Gaines, the bad guy, is on the phone with Jack, telling Jack to like do stuff. And Emily, this is like where you really leaned in. You're like,
yeah, because clearly they're trying to get Jack out of the hospital.
Yes.
And like obviously it's a big diversion of some regard, you know, some way,
yeah,
shape or form. But you're seeing him back away from Terry. He's trying to keep it cool, trying to act like he's taking a business
watching
call,
on the security camera. He's like, that's right, Jack, I'm watching.
I know
you.
I said this is everyone who owns a Nest camera or a baby monitor in the last few years. They get scared, you put tape over your camera on your computer. I get it.
Yes,
you don't want someone like this calling and telling you what to do because they're watching you.
Yes.
Anyway, so he starts like slowly backing out.
He's like the Kool-Aid man, like walking out of like the hole that he just created in Family Guy.
Not quite, but sure.
It's evocative. Anyway.
Yes. Then we see Alan.
Yes. Okay. So it goes down. And I've been so hyped for this to happen. As Alan York, this daddy that Emily has been into for the last several hours.
I wouldn't say I was into him.
Emily, I think that if we go back and scan the record, I think like people might disagree. I would disagree. It sounds like you were kind of into him. Either way, that's not Alan York. This is another guy. So it turns out that he was saying he's Alan York the whole time. He goes into the room with Janet. And as he goes in, as he steps in, I think you had the absolute proper reaction where you're like, everything is about to happen, is what Emily said.
100%.
And he walks up to her and goes, hello, Janet. You've had a rough night, haven't you, Janet? And Janet says something. And Emily at this point goes, is he a bad guy? And I was like, Emily, you're missing what she said. And you're like, what did she say? And I go, she said, who are you? And you're like, oh. And yeah. she goes, "Where's my father?" And he kills her. He suffocates her. He like so mutes bad. The machines. No yeah, one can hear the flatlining.
Yeah. And like, you can't even play dead in a scenario like this because you can watch the chart.
This is
what I always think, where I'm like, play dead.
You can't play dead.
Just like, pretend you can't play dead here. A little earlier.
No, you can't play dead here.
You can't play dead here.
No. I also don't know how well, though. Anyway, but he's.
Hey, it's an idea.
It's an idea.
Rather than just trying to die.
You're throwing it out there. That's great, Emily. She's dead. Alan York is not Alan York. Alan York is some other dude. Your reaction, Emily Fox, is a big twist. This is one of my favorite early season 1 24 twists.
If you sort of walk back and sort of watch his interactions, especially with doctors and in the hospital, and the way he's very supportive of Terry.
Yes.
Building up on her really trusting him.
Yes.
You can definitely see the signs.
Yes.
Of like, okay, this is not just like a concerned father that's driving all over the city at night. Like, this is part of a moral.
He's like babysitting
plan.
Terry, basically.
Yes.
It plays really well on rewatch.
It plays so well because you just don't even think to question it until you're too close, and then you're like, no. And it's gonna get worse.
Yeah, like
it's gonna get worse.
You see it like the moment it's too late, and you're like, oh no! Like, so it is really, really well done.
But I could feel it when the doctor was like, do you want to go in on there like alone? Do you want them?
He's like, I do think that would be best. I would rather you not be there while I killed her.
No. Hey, everybody in med school, don't do that.
What's crazy is
go in with the person.
What's crazy is that there's still 10 minutes left of the episode at this point. We only have like 4 minutes, so we got to rush.
Go.
Gaines on the phone, like, makes Jack go into this silver Taurus. He makes him put an earpiece in. He puts Kim on the phone to prove she's alive. I'm alive. And then he like takes the phone away from her. And he says, all right, say something into the earpiece so I know I can hear you. And he goes, if you hurt my daughter, I will kill you. And Gaines goes, oh, that's a nice clear signal. So he makes him throw his phone out the window. And he tells him to go to the office like everybody else. He goes, CTU? He goes, that's where you work. So where we're left with Jack Bauer is Gaines is literally in his ear. So the bad guy story and the hero story have fully collided. And we're in some stuff that I really, really, really love. I love the Gaines and Bauer dynamic. I think this is going to be fun stuff for the next little while.
And Kim returns back outside to Rick, who's like beginning to put Dan into the hole.
Yes.
He's starting to shovel. She joins in and she's like, by the way, talk to my dad.
Yeah.
He's going to find us.
We got
and
this.
And Rick's like,
okay,
this feels
I guess.
Very improbable.
But
and
right.
she's like, nah, it's fine.
Oh, my God. All right.
Teenage optimism, I tell you.
Back at CTU, Eric Balfour, the actor of 6 Feet Under fame.
Talk about somebody being excited to see
Emily
someone.
Fox crushed really hard on Eric Balfour as a teenager. I believe you used to call him Dirt Lip.
Yeah, because he had a dirt lip in 6 Feet Under.
He just had one,
a bunch of 6 Feet Under when I was babysitting across the street for the little girls. For like a couple of years.
Yeah, so he's so here, like, as a CTU contractor named Milo Pressman. He loves nuts. He eats nuts everywhere he goes. It's true. He eats like a jar of nuts.
I feel like that's unsanitary in a forensic environment.
Anyway,
sure.
Get excited because Eric Balfour's in the house. I've been really hyped for you to see that
I'm
Dirt Lip
so
is on the show.
I'm so excited about it. When I saw his name in the billing, I was like, stop it right now.
All right, we've got 2 minutes left. So the sun is peeking up as Alan has taken Terry on the road. He's like, oh, yeah, Janet's awake. She told me where they were being kept. You want to just like, well, I'll call the cops. You call Jack. We'll go. She's trying to call Jack, not getting through. Nina calls Terry when she's in the car with Alan. It's like, yeah, I can't.
Well, no. They're going to go to the house that he got this address.
We have no time to clarify this.
Nina calls
Terry and she says, hey, can't get through to Jack. Can you just tell him when you reach him that the body we've identified, its name is Alan York? And Terry's like, shit, because I'm driving with this man who I believe to be Alan York. And this is the climactic ending of the episode, is that Terry is now alone in the car with this guy who we know has killed Janet. And now she knows is not Janet's dad. And that is the cliffhanger ending here for the 5
and
to 6 a.m.
And that's when you say, hey, pull over, I got to throw up.
Yeah, pretty much. Emily did say out loud, Terry, come on, tuck and roll, Terry. So we'll see how this shakes out. Jack Bauer has...
It's not good. It's not looking good.
Jack has been commandeered. Doesn't look good. Jack has been commandeered by the bad guy. Terry is now aware that she's been riding around with a monster.
With a bad guy.
A lot of things are going on. Dirt Lip is on the show. It's the 5 to 6 a.m. hour. All right, Emily, letter grade. Give it a go.
A plus
for episodes 5 to 6 a.m. on the board. We love to hear it. Send your feedback in for that episode 8 feedback show. We want to hear from you. Josh at Post Show Recaps. emily24.com. Follow Emily on Twitter at Emily. Do not spoil 24 for Emily. Send me the email again, joshaposhorecaps.com. We'll be back next week with the 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. This thing's only escalating, Fox. It's going to get crazier.
I'm sweating.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.